new light, coming to you live from Live 6. The answers to all your questions. We don't need false prophets. We don't need misinformed teachers that don't know how to teach. We don't need leaders that don't know how to lead. That's right, he's here right now with us on earth, incarnated in human form, with the total truth. You have to hear it to believe it.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحتي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You are now listening to The True Light with Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi in a live question and answer session.
I was told that you're saving your servant Satan, so how could you hate the white people and love black when God say that he came to save the world?
Where does it say in the Bible that God came to save the world?
I don't see it.
It's not in the Bible. It says right in there that Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. It tells you right in John, it tells you in Hebrews. Over and over again it says it. Came to the lost sheep in Matthew 15, Christian. When he asked, when he's being confronted with a Canaanite woman who he refuses to heal. Mind you, Jesus refuses to heal this Canaanite woman. This is what you're saying, God. Yet he won't heal somebody. Why didn't Jesus heal this woman in Matthew 15? Read Matthew 15, everyone.
Begin with verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said,
now make note that this is what Jesus said. This is, of course, in your Bible. It should be in your red print, I think. Is it in red in your Bible?
Oh, yes.
Okay, this is what Jesus says concerning this woman. And this is what he says concerning himself. Go ahead.
I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Why do people keep saying Jesus was sent to everybody in the world when the Bible right here says he wasn't? Why do they keep lying on Jesus? He never said these things. Christians made these things up. He said he was only sent for the lost sheep of Israel only. So why do people, maybe he's not interested in the Yugoslavians, and he's not interested in the people in Ireland, he's not interested in people in London, he's not interested in people in France, he's not interested in people in Spain, he's not interested in none of the people, but the lost sheep. Notice he says lost here. Because he was there, standing amongst people who were calling themselves Jews. He was right there with people calling themselves Jews. But what did he say? Talking to, now here the disciples are standing there, correct? And these disciples also claim to be of the house of Israel, most of them, correct? But notice what he says about that. What are they? Are they found? Did he say, I was not sent for the lost, but now found? He's talking to them and still saying they're not there. Read it again.
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
What, he's not standing? They're still lost that he's talking to? He knew that he was sent to a people that had not yet come. That's why he said in John that it's better for him to go. Because he had many things to say unto them, but they could not bear them yet. So they could easily say, they could say we worship the devil if they wish. We worship what Jesus worshiped. Allah or Elah, the same word. We worship what Jesus worshiped. If they want to say that, they worship Jesus. We don't worship Jesus. We worship what Jesus worshipped, which is the Father of the heavens and the earth, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's what Jesus said. Not our Father who was in heaven and has now come down to earth as his Son. That's not what Jesus says in Matthew. Read what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer concerning the Father. Our Father who art where?
Heaven.
Now this is Jesus telling people to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Is Jesus' name holy then? Or is his Father's name holy? His Father's name. This is what he said. You know what the problem is? People are busy listening to preachers, teachers, and false prophets and prophecies. Because a whole lot of women preachers out there too now. And they're just making up their own doctrine about the Bible without even understanding. They're philosophizing and opinionating, and they're just not using facts. Go directly to the Bible, read it word for word, and see what it says. Jesus right there tells everybody who he was sent to. He was sent to Israel. Was he planning on making a new religion then? No. But the people of Israel already had laws they followed. They followed the books of Moshe. They followed the laws of Israel. They had certain laws they kept. The 50th day of the month Nisan was Pentecost. So what do these people make up a church called the Pentecostal church for? They had to do with the coming in of the new season in Judaism. And that was never doing no new church. They baptized with water and with fire. The fire baptism was a sacrifice. The water baptism was total submersion into water. Where they get this Baptist church from? Luther was a man who went up against the churches of England, and they formed a church called the Lutherans. Everybody bears witness to Yahuwah. But it says, I can say, God, I sent to bear witness to him. Everyone bears witness to Yahuwah, which they mistranslated as Jehovah and call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. They're not saying that flip. And Jesus said, right? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto the Lord what is the Lord. Caesar was the governor of what place? Of Rome, right? So there's no way you can be a Roman Catholic, but Jesus separated Rome from the kingdom of God. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and unto the Lord what is the Lord. So there's no such thing as a Roman Catholic. So where did you get that one from? Can I keep going, or can y'all see the rest of them? They make these things up. Lutherans, Pentecostals, Baptists, Jehovah's Witnesses, they took incidents out of the law and made whole congregations upon them. You know how come they did that? Because in St. John, Jesus told them they couldn't establish a church yet. He said, he will build his church. He looked at Peter, Cephas, and said, I'll build my church upon this rock. Using him as an example as a person. He will do it. Not Peter, not Paul. But they went out after him, after he openly told these people. What did he say? I have yet many things to say unto you. However, you cannot bear them yet. Correct? This is St. John chapter 7. Does he not say that? For if I am your teacher, and I have not finished teaching you, how the heck are you going to go set up a school to teach? He told he didn't finish teaching them yet. That means the Christians are setting up a school of thought, and the doctrine and the curriculum is not yet complete. How is that possible? There's many things I have to say unto you, however, you cannot bear them yet. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, the Comforter, by the way, he shall not speak of himself, only that which he hears shall he speak, and he shall glorify the Holy. They say, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was with Jesus when he was baptized and rejoiced by John the Baptist. The Holy Ghost visited Mary to tell her she was going to be pregnant. The Holy Ghost visited Zachariah to tell him he couldn't speak. The Holy Ghost visited Elizabeth. The Holy Ghost visited Sarah and Abraham. The Holy Ghost visited Jacob in the wilderness. The Holy Ghost has been here since the foundation of the world. What is this stuff? The Holy Ghost is coming all of a sudden like it's something new. Jesus didn't say that. He said, I will send you what? I will send you another comforter. What does the word another mean even in English? Somebody tell me what the meaning of another is. Do you know?
There's one and there'll be another one.
Well, there it is. You have one thing and there'll be another like it. Now, he said he'll send another comforter. So either the angel Gabriel is going to come to another woman and she is going to conceive another child born of the Holy Spirit like him, you see, which will make another comforter, or he meant something else. Somebody else that will be guided by the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Quran confirms. That the angel Gabriel, the Holy Spirit, came to Muhammad while he was in the cave and told him to read. That was that other comforter. The angel Gabriel came to another man, and that man was sent forth into the world with the word of the Most High. That man was called Muhammad. And that word that he had was called Kalima. La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. That was the word Muhammad put forth. That Jesus spoke about. That there is no creator except one, and besides him there is none.
And instead of that, we say that the children in slavery, there will be children in slavery for 400 years, right? And they will come out abundantly. They will come out abundantly. But does it mean Muslims are black or gone?
If you had any difficulty in hearing this question, the question was, the Bible states that there will be a bondage for 400 years, and then these people will come out with great substance. Does that mean the Muslims are blacks as a whole?
If you go back to who we're speaking of either one or two bondages, all right?
Right.
One of the bondages is the children of Jacob, who is Isaac's son, where his name changed to Israel, and his sons became known as Israel. Right? Or Ben Israel, the sons of Israel. And they went into bondage in Egypt. Under who?
Yeah.
Under Egyptians. They were not under bondage of any Amorites. They were not under bondage of none other than the Egyptians, correct?
Right.
Okay. And they went and they had their Exodus, which is why they have all the holidays today. Which meant the day came when they left Egypt. Is that a fact? So that eliminates the scripture talking about them. Okay? Now we come down to another bondage. But before we get into that bondage, let's get into something that Jesus said. Because he was in between the bondage of the original Israel and the second bondage of Abraham's seed. Okay? And Jesus is going to tell us who these people are in his Beatitudes. He says, blessed are the what? The peacemakers. For they shall be called the what? The children of God, right? Now listen to that statement. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Because in St. John chapter 1, he says, as many as believe in me, they too shall be called the sons of. So now, he's telling you that the people that will believe in him will also be called the peacemakers. Now, in Matthew 24, however, he says, in the latter day, many shall come in my name and say they are of Christ and are not. You follow? So we establish here that he called his followers peacemakers, and they will be the sons of God. Then he spoke of another people who will come in his name, and they're not of him. Now, Muslims do not call themselves Christians. Christians call themselves Christians supposedly because they're coming in the name of who? Christ. Right? And Christ told us in Matthew 24 when talking to the disciples, many shall come in my name and say they are of him but not. Now, he also mentioned, in case the question comes up, about people who say they are him in Matthew 24. That is a different type of deal. And then he spoke for another people, many false prophets will come. And that is another type of deal. So we have, in the world today, people that are saying they are Christ, right? And we have people that are saying they are prophets. Then we have people that have come in Christ's name and saying they are of him and they are not. You understand that?
Right.
But he describes in the Beatitudes by the word peacemaker. If we go back to the Aramaic or the Hebrew or the Arabic, which are all the same language, different dialects, when they use the word peace, they use the word either shalom or salam. You understand? And when they want to change it into a noun to identify to someone, they always add a M. U or M-A on it in those languages. So if you take the word salam and you add the prefix to it, one who is of this here, to make it a noun, a name, it becomes M-U salam. Read that. What would that spell? It would say mu, right? One who is salam. Now say mu and salam fast. This is what Jesus said. He said, blessed are the they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. And as many as keep on my name, There's many Muslims out there who don't believe in Jesus. You meet a lot of Sunni Muslims who worship in a certain kind of way Muhammad. And they don't acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah who will come in the latter day. You follow that? So there's many of them that believe the same shall be saved. Am I overloading you?
No.
Okay, I want you to bear with that. Because there's quotes to support things that happen that people don't realize. Why? Many people come along saying they're Christian or Christ. If you try to establish with these people, what did Jesus teach, they get lost. Here's how we'll find out about the false people. Did Jesus bring a new religion into question?
No.
That's right. But we can go on and just, for everybody there, if they have to have a pencil and paper, let's write it down and let's open our Bible. You have a Bible with you, eh? Open your Bible to Matthew 5. Turn to verse 17. I want you all to write these down because this is your ammunition when you go out to spread the gospel so you can defend your faith.
Okay.
Read it to us. This is Jesus speaking. I think in most Bibles they put it in red for some crazy reason to say that this is Jesus. But read what it says.
That I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Okay. Now the reason why I picked these two quotes out is for several reasons. One is they left the Hebrew in jot and tittle. It's from jot and tittle. Two Hebrew letters. The smallest letter in the Hebrew language is the letter yet. It's a tiny little thing, looks like a comma. Alright, now Jesus is speaking about the law. And he says, tell his people, and mainly Paul and his type of people who came and altered the law, don't think that I came to do what?
Destroy
the law of the prophets, not just of Moses, which he mentions in St. John chapter 1 that the law came by way of Moses, you see. But he said all the prophets in plural prior to him. He did not come to destroy the law of the prophets. What does the word destroy mean? To do away with, to get rid of, to break up. So that meant that Jesus was establishing in this verse that he was living by the same law of the prophets before him. Correct?
Right.
If you turn to Romans 3:31.
Okay.
Read it for us.
Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yes, we establish the law.
You see that?
Right.
Again, they tell us about the establishment of the law. If we went on to 4, we'll find out whose law they're talking about. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, has found, that is a question of action. But we're talking about some law, and his law is pertaining to whom? Apparently. What prophet is mentioned here?
Abraham.
They'll go on to speak about who the covenant's hand should fall into, whether it's Ishmael or Isaac. And in this one, they'll think of the covenant is falling into Ishmael's hand, not Isaac, because Ishmael had the covenant of the flesh, and Isaac had the covenant of the promise, right? And it says right there, pertaining to the flesh, which is the covenant of the circumcision, which is given to the son Ishmael from the Egyptian wife Hagar, not Isaac, which is, of course, the descendants of the Muslims. So Jesus is confessing at this point that the law he lived by is the same law of Abraham, and it will end up with the Muslims. Let me go on with more quotes. Unless you have a question.
Yeah, when I asked a Christian about Ishmael, they said that since Jesus came, he didn't say anything about Ishmael, or it was the Jews. So there's no indication that Ishmael were to be successor of the covenant in the New Testament.
I don't have no argument with that. I don't have no argument with Jesus saying he came to teach the Jews. But I have an argument with the Christians saying that and not realizing what they're saying. I just showed you one statement that Jesus came to teach the law to Israel, right?
Right.
Not the Gentiles. I'm going to go on. We're not going to read and write and let the Bible teach us to tell men. Okay?
You have been listening to The True Light, a question and answer session with Saeed Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Do you want to know the truth? Can you face the truth? Be sure to read the most dynamic books in history, authored by Saeed Al-Imamisa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi, on such subjects as, what is a Muslim? Where is the tabernacle of the Most High? Should Muslims observe the Sabbath? Was Christ really crucified? Who was the Comforter? Now let us return to the true light with Saeed Al-Imam Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Matthew 15:24, turn to it. Hope you all write these things down. Some of you all at least.
But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Jesus told people right there who he was sent to. Who did he say he was sent to?
The lost, the children.
Of Israel only, right?
Right.
Now, let's see what he says in Matthew 18:11.
For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
Now, what did he say in 15:24? I came to the what?
Lost sheep.
I see the word lost there again? Lost? You don't see it?
Okay,
Matthew 15:24. Right. I am not sent but to the lost.
Sheep of the house of Israel.
But the catchword here is lost. Okay?
Right.
Now when we go to the other one, 18:11 of Matthew, it says, for the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, is come to save that which was
lost.
He did not come to anybody else.
Right.
Let's go on. Matthew 28:19.
Okay.
So what did he say?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Now people will presuppose this therefore to mean to go out and teach everybody the gospel. Right? But then that would be a contradiction to what Jesus just said. But the fact that he mentions that the children of Israel are lost means that they are scattered throughout the nations. You see?
Okay, right.
And his disciples must go find them, not go to Galatians and teach the Galatians like Paul did and teach Gentiles. And let's go on. And let's read Matthew 19:28.
And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that he which hath followed me is
a regeneration,
when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon the 12th throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Who will he judge?
The 12 tribes of Israel.
Will he judge Christians and Gentiles and people that are not Israel? Let's go on. That is what the Bible teaches. Okay?
Okay.
That is correct.
And why is the Old Testament being erased from there?
Why don't?
The Old Testament. Being erased from the complete Bible.
The Old Testament is not being erased from the Bible.
No, but it comes to most Christian churches. You only get the New Testament.
Because they know that in reading the Old Testament, every time someone comes up with what I'm showing now, that is proof that Jesus did not forget one group, right? Acts 11:19. Let's see what happens there, and then I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Those there which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen's travel as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and
Antioch,
preaching the word to none, but unto the truth only.
Who were they teaching?
The truth only.
Now, what is wrong with these people into thinking that they got a new religion? Well, Christianity. Jesus did not advocate Christianity. Jesus told the disciples who to teach only, who he was sent to only. And the reason why Paul and them had to do that is because they were confronted with a very serious situation. You know what? Conversion. They were confronted with conversion. Converting a man. That means when you convert a grown man who's not circumcised, he has to go and get the skin of his flesh cut. Conversion becomes very difficult when that's in front of the person, in front of the human being. In order for you to be saved, you gotta go get your foreskin cut off and stay in agony for when a baby is circumcised with a spit snack, it's one thing. When a grown man gets circumcised, it's another whole thing. You understand? So Paul and them were confronted with trying to convert people who had been, who were Jews, who had started living like Gentiles. And they couldn't do it. So they started to modernize the religion. You see? They changed the Sabbath day for convenience. They stopped the circumcision. They started drinking wine that was intoxicant, which could make them drunk. Started eating the flesh of the pig. They started to take, they took their caps off their heads, and they wanted to be distinguished as a new sect of Jews. They were not thought to be Christians until Antioch in Greece. The women put that on board. They were first called Christians in Antioch. All the time that they were in Judea and Jerusalem and Nazareth, they were living by the law of Israel like every other Jew. The Greeks called them Christians. You understand? Yes. So the reason why they try to eliminate the New Old Testament is because the Old Testament is the law. And they find it in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, it tells them to stop eating pork. What would a Christian picnic be without pork? Christians, they're the only people in the world that eat pork the way they do. You see? They would have to let their beards grow. Like the law in Leviticus says, to let your beards grow. They would have to wear their heads covered in the mouth in the temple, take their shoes off, because the Bible says that the angel spoke to Moses and said, remove your shoes because this is holy ground. Christians draw the dirt from the feet right into the temple. Right? They did not want to live by these strict laws that Jesus lived by. Jesus lived by the Passover, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and all of the Judaic laws, he followed them. And then, when he got ready to leave, because they didn't accept him, in St. John chapter 7, that's when he told them of another one that would come, a comforter that would come. And then the Christian said, well, this comforter he's talking about is the Holy Ghost. Correct. However, Jesus made it a thing that he said, if I don't go, he cannot come. Now, we know that Jesus received the Holy Ghost when he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. Right? The dove descended upon him. So, therefore, the comforter or the Holy Ghost, I should say, had already been there. And he sent his disciples out to teach of the Holy Ghost. So they were already there. This comforter could not have been the Holy Ghost. There was someone who was endowed with the Holy Ghost like Jesus was endowed with the Holy Ghost. A man who had the Spirit of the Most High moving through him, which would make him like the Holy Ghost just like Jesus. Jesus was born the Holy Spirit many times, right? Right. Who was that man who came after Jesus who was a prophet? Because he decided, we found out that when the Pharisees asked John about the Messiah, you found out that that Messiah was who? Jesus. When they asked him about Elijah, Jesus then explained that John the Baptist didn't know that he was Elijah. But what about the prophet they asked him about? Who was this prophet who came after Jesus? None other than, you can say it, Muhammad. Who Jesus said is one worthy of praise. But not only that, the Holy Quran, in the seventh verse, surah, chapter 158, mentions that this man, Muhammad, is the one mentioned in the Old Scripture. But Muslims are so thick that they don't read the scriptures to find out what they're talking about. They're so busy listening to white Arabs, you don't know what they're talking about. Open your Holy Quran, anyone, to the seventh chapter. Now read what it says in 157.
And are they in front of us in this word?
Okay, that's, see, I'm looking at it in Arabic. I think you have to come down one then. Come to 158.
Okay. Those who follow the messenger, the prophet, the immaculate one, whom they find mentioned in the Torah and the gospel which are with them, he enjoins on them good and forbids them evil.
Remember Jesus said that about the comforter? He would enjoin good and prevent evil? There's a book written that seems to have the exact same thing about this man, Muhammad. Go ahead.
And make law, lawful for them, the good things, and forbid them the bad, and remove from them their burden, and their shackles made upon them. So those who shall believe in him will be honor and support.
You see that? You can see why the Christian preacher and the white man does not want black people to understand the Quran. Because if they did understand the Quran, they seem to be saying the exact same thing, you know, that Jesus proposed. And that's what he's trying to prevent our people from finding out who this comforter is and what he means to us.
And he said, said something about when, again, a while ago. Didn't him Jesus and drink wine?
Yes, and wine was not even unlawful for Muslims. That's not what's unlawful. Intoxication is what's unlawful. You are not to drink wine as a form of pleasure or entertainment. It was drunk at the broken, when it broke the Sabbath, and at certain holidays, and at certain wedding receptions and things. And when Jesus saw that people were drunk, that's why he told his mother Mary he did not want to turn the water to wine. That's why he was upset. He said, woman, he spoke to his mother, not as mother, but he said, woman, when she said, well, my son didn't turn the water into wine. He was angry. You see? Wine was not supposed to be drank to make one drunk. It was not intended for that. He says, Noah's time, a curse came out of people becoming intoxicated. So in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us to get drunk. They use the word tumra, intoxication. But Muslims who can't read the language have always interpreted it wrong and translated it wrong. Wine was never forbidden. It was the intoxicating effect that was forbidden. And Jesus and them, when they took wine, they did with dinner and at ceremonies, never a bottle of wine to get ripped.
Okay? And when did Jesus and Rupert, he always looked at his mother as a woman.
Why did he? Yeah. At the party in Cana, at the wedding, when she asked Jesus to turn water into wine, he was vexed at that point.
But I believe even at his first picture, he also looked at Mary as
well. Well, that wasn't Jesus. That was Judas at the crucifixion. And Mary, according to the Bible, was so far away from the cross, Jesus couldn't talk to her anyway. We went through a whole bunch of contradictions last week about that very subject. Okay.
All right. And UFO, I don't know if that UFO is Korea. Is that Korea?
All right, that's a very good point. I want you to read this now. I like to stay in the Bible, the Spanish way, right? You can't go out and say, this guy just talked off the top of his head. You have to say, every time he says something, he does what?
That's a good point.
With a Bible quote.
Right.
I want you to turn your Bible to Matthew 2:9. I want you to read it to me. This is speaking about the birth of the Messiah and the coming of the so-called wise men. What does it say in 2:9?
When they had heard the king, they departed, and the Lord of God was their God in the east. Went before them, till he came and stood over where the young child was born.
Okay, let's establish one thing. Scientifically, we got to establish that these texts that we call scriptures are supposed to be divinely inspired. And therewith, the Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, he knows certain things you and I can't begin to conceive. One is, the sun does not really rise or set, right?
Right.
If you see in the Bible it says the sun rises or sets, somebody's playing games. Because you will be looking down, you will never be looking up to see it rise and set. So man has to write that. You got the point? Okay, now speaking of sun, stars are suns. You study the word about astronomy, not astrology, astronomy. Stars are suns, and your sun, which is approximately 93 million miles away from the Earth, and it varies across the season, is not by far one of the largest stars. Okay? Now we know a scientific fact is when you look at the night and you see a star, it's not really there. You see it in the remains of the night. The star has already left and burnt out. Okay? All right. However, in this quote in the Bible, which is supposed to be divinely inspired, we get a certain inclination about a star that started in the east and drove over to Bethlehem and stopped.
Right.
Now let's forget the Christmas story and all that stuff and all that so much, and let's get into this fact scientifically. Star, and one star was to be over Bethlehem. It would be so big that they wouldn't know what house Jesus was in. Stars are bigger than the sun. Big, big, big. First of all, and second of all, stars don't pick up and go places and stop. You understand the point I'm making?
Okay, right.
You're talking about a ship. The angels used to use ships, light, like y'all explained earlier with Ezekiel. And they would appear to people who were not informed in the advanced sciences of astronomy. When they see the light, they would immediately say star. It was a bright light, it was a sun, it was a somewhat bright light, it was a moon, and everything else that lit up the sky was a star. In Revelation, when John sees the star, as he called it, fall and hit the earth, he called that bomb and he saw come out that plane a star. You see? These are ships. This was a ship that guided the wise men to where the Messiah was. Now, the reason why the white man, as he's called, calls it a UFO, is because he is so honest in what he does that he's really not honest.
I am.
Let me tell you why I say that. I'll come back to you. Because UFO deviates something. What does that mean?
Identified flying object.
Unidentified flying object. It's an object, it's flying, and I don't know what it is. But what he does is give it a name, UFO, and you begin to believe that's the name. You see? You start saying UFO is a name. UFO is a statement saying I don't know what it is. So the star mentioned in the Bible of Bethlehem was a ship. No star picks up and goes from east to west and stops. Tell him to study the science. The scripture here is supposed to cover the Most High. He knows that. Go ahead.
Whatever UFO am, around, right?
If UFOs are around?
No, no. I mean, whatever it comes around.
Aye.
Does it bring a message or something to someone?
No. Every angel that you ever hear about in the scripture is a UFO. Is Ezekiel, anybody who comes into the earth's atmosphere from another galaxy or another dimension or another plane, who comes in and because of their aura, their holler, their light around them, is cited as some beam of light, is therewith declared an unidentifiable flying object. Now, there are beings walking the earth today as human beings, taking on human form to study human nature, to try to help you not totally destroy yourself. They have to take on a human form and walk amongst you, because if they stay in their divine form, your devil friend, who happens to also be an alien from Saturn here, would want to dissect them, would want to operate, want to figure out what makes them tick. So they take on the form of human beings to mingle amongst mortals to help man, try to coerce man to stop destroying himself. But man has been so caught up in the delicacies of the devil, it's very difficult to wake him up to who he is.
In the Bible, it says, man and mankind, what does it mean when...
Well, in English, man and mankind means what it sounds like, humanity. Man and a kind of man.
Right.
In the Bible, you're talking in another language. So sometimes in the Bible, they refer to insan and man. They use different words, a rajul, a human being, you know, majestic, a physical being. They got many terms, so it's very difficult to do the phonetic trick of man and mankind in Hebrew, Arabic, and Arabic as you do in English. But because the devil used English as a language he would trick people in, that's why it's very easy to see how he used words, like history.
So who do you call a mankind?
Any man who is not the original man is like man. You follow that? And genetic science tells us who the original man is, because the color of your skin is determined by the motion of the pigments, how fast the pigments move, all right? And we know that motion is prompted by strength. You got this? In order for you to have fast-moving, what we call a pigment, you have to have genetic strength, okay? Strength is gained over a period of time with exercise. So the darker you are, the more stronger you are genetically, and thus you were here first. White people are not arguing with the fact that their hair is straight because their genes are weak, or that their eyes are blue because their genes are weak, or that their skin is pale because their genes are weak. They're not arguing with the fact that they're the devil. Y'all are trying to argue with the fact that they're the devil because you got a face of the devil ruling the world. That's kind of practice. So bloody, we have to keep saying, come on, all right, you can't be bad. What they're really saying is, please tell me all right, you're not bad.
Just mentioned that the angel Gabriel
visited the Prophet Muhammad. But did he know that he was an extraterrestrial being?
No, Muhammad thought, like most mortals, that he was an angel. Y'all use the word angel for extraterrestrial. The word terrestrial means things in your Earth's atmosphere. Anything that comes in here is a what? An extra thing here. That's all it means, is an extra thing here. Jesus said extraterrestrial being will come to another man named Muhammad who will be a comfort to you, and he'll bring new revelation. He'll be the last one. That's what Jesus said. Another extraterrestrial will come to you. Turn to chapter 16, St. John, chapter 16, verse 7. And this is supposedly Jesus speaking, and he starts off saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
The expedient for you that I go away.
It's better for you that I go away.
For if I go not away, the comforter will not come on.
Now stop. Jesus made a conditional statement here, and the condition was that if he does not go away, the comforter could not come. You see? Because those two prophets of the same people could be there at the same time, because the Quran says to each people I send a warner. So both of them couldn't be there at the same time for the same people. There'd be a conflict of interest. So Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could not come while Isa, alayhi salatu wa sallam, was there. We're now moving down to verse 12.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now.
Stop. Jesus told these people, I have a lot of things to teach you, but what?
You cannot bear them now.
You cannot bear them. Then go on. However.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth.
That's what the Quran says. See that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. أهدنا الصراط المستقيم أهدنا الصراط المستقيم أهدنا أهدي هادي الحادي guide us أهدنا الصراط guide us الصراط المستقيم. That's what he said the comfort is going to do. First chapter of the Quran is something special, huh? And it says أهدنا الصراط المستقيم, guide us to the straight and narrow path. أهدنا الصراط المستقيم. You see it? He even said it right there. Go ahead. This prophet will not speak of himself. The angel Gabriel, the known fact in Islam, the angel Gabriel, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, came to Rasulullah Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the cave, and said to Muhammad, Iqra. Wa Muhammad, wa ta'ala, ya Jibreel, ma ana biqariyan. Wa Jibreel, wa ta'ala, aydan, Muhammad, اقرأ. ومحمد قال مرتانية يا جبريل ما أنا بقارئين. He said, Muhammad, read. He said, Jibreel, I am not a reader. Muhammad, read. He says, Jibreel, I am not a reader. What is he asking this man? What is this extraterrestrial being asking of this man? A very simple statement, right? What is Muhammad saying?
Not a reader.
What does he mean he's not a reader?
He does not know how to read.
That's right. On my own, I cannot do anything. So the angel says to him, which is now the 96th chapter of the Holy Quran, and it's going to be mathematically equated in a way that's unbelievable, alayha tisat ashara, over it is 19. He says to Jibreel, Jibreel says to Rasulullah, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Begin all things in the illustrious name of Allah. He is the yield of the most merciful. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read by way of using the name of ربك وسستينا الذي هو خلق. Who created. خلق الإنسان من علق. He created all forgetful creatures. Insan, people, man, من علق. From sperm gushing forth and dividing up. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. And read like this, Muhammad, by way of your sustainer, who is karam, who is so generous. Alladhi alama bil qalam. He is it, for he is rich, as alama taught bil qalam, by using a quilt or a pen. Alama al-insana ma lam ya'lam.
It is who has taught you forgetful preaching what you could not on your own have learned. Those are the first five verses of the revelation that came to Rasulullah. He put the words in his mouth so that Muhammad would not think of himself. He made sure that Muhammad just repeated exactly what was being said, so he had no opinion. And Muhammad oftentimes said, I can't say nothing that has not come from Allah Ta'ala throughout the Quran. Most Muslims translate the word ikra, recite, proclaim. The word ikra means read. Ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. How do you know? You know because by the time it gets down to the fourth verse, it tells you, alladhi alama alama bil qalam, alladhi alama bil qalam, which taught by way of a pen. What do you do? When something is written with a pen, you read it. You don't recite it. You recite from your head. You orate from your heart. You read from something written. But all these students keep saying, no, it means recite. That's the devil leading them away from the true meaning. Because they don't want them to know that Muhammad was asked to read the Torah and the Injil before he revealed the Quran. And the Holy Quran in the second chapter supports that to the letter when we get to Surah Al-Baqarah, when it tells you about what was sent down to you, Muhammad, and what was sent down from before you, Muhammad, when it says in the fourth verse of the second chapter, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَالَّذِينَ And those who يُؤْمِنُونَ, they believe بِمَا by way of أُنْزِلَ what was sent down إِلَيْكَ to you, Muhammad, وَمَا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ and what was sent down before you, Muhammad. Yet you have Muslims all across this country being taught and misinformed by Muslims from overseas who are trying to confuse them into not accepting all of the scriptures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A concentrated effort is being made to confuse people so as not to accept Allah and all of the scriptures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. I don't know what else to say. They read the scriptures, they see what it says, and they still alter their words. Same thing with Christians. They read the scriptures, they see what it says, yet they still choose to alter. This scripture tells you that this is plain and true. So these verses are clear. And it's telling them right there, right there in St. John, chapter 16, all about this man that would come, Muhammad. He would not speak of himself, only that which he hears.
We will continue with True Light after this pause. If you would like a cassette copy of this week's True Light broadcast, send $5 to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221, and request tape number 19. Now let us return to the True Light with Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
I think this point, because there's a lot of new people there, is one thing we should try to do every week that we gather, is teach something. And I know I meet a lot of people who would like to say this properly, and they say it wrong. But I want you all to repeat it. Ready? Say, As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam. Because many people would like to know how to say that, and they say it wrong. Every week at the class, for starting, if we take one of these small things and have the brothers write on the blackboard in transliteration and Arabic and see what it means, as it will start us at least in our Arabic. As is A-M. When we use sun letters, we say as, the, salama, tranquility, bliss, or peace. As-salamu bi alaykum. Upon you all. In Deen al-Islam, when one Muslim speaks to another, They speak to them in plural out of respect. They don't speak to them in singular, like when Jesus al-Masih went into the upper room and he said, Salam Leka. He was speaking to an individual. In al-Islam, Rasulullah Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, taught us to speak in plural to address you and your two spiritual guides, angelic beings, as they would refer to them, and say, As-salamu alaykum. Say it. Tranquility or peace be upon you. Let it descend upon you. Or with men, let the Holy Spirit fill you. As-salamu alaykum. Aiden, one more time. As-salamu alaykum. And the answer is, wa alaykum salam. Wa in Arabic means and. And wa alaykum. And upon you, as-salamu, be peace. So your answer to the person is, and may the Holy Spirit descend upon you in peace. So Muslims say to each other, as-salamu alaykum. The answer is, wa alaykum salam. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam. You see that? A is a hard letter and as is a soft. As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. Everybody, turn to somebody and greet them and answer. Come on, don't be ashamed. How many people messed up? How many people messed up? Let's try it again. Come on, don't be ashamed. Y'all can do it. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. So when the brother comes in and he says to y'all, Assalamu alaikum, what are all y'all supposed to say? That's one thing we got right forever, I hope.
بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم.
Unshakable guidance and teachings of Asaid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the undisputed man of our time. No one has allowed themselves to be questioned with such a variety of questions, only to fulfill the eager minds of many in search of the truth. Al-Imam Isa is the author of the most dynamic books in history, dealing with the truth, not theory, philosophies, or fairy tales. Just simple truth to all your questions, no matter what topic. How did Jonah survive 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale? Does the Creator really sit on a throne? What and where is hell? Are angels extraterrestrial beings? Finally, the time has come for the whole truth to be heard. The Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission would like to invite you to write or send questions to True Life, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. The public is invited to newcomers class held every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission, 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. People interested in purchasing these pamphlets of peace can visit our bookstore, Original Tent of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, or purchase them from any of our brothers dressed in white, representing the Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission throughout your city. Again, the address for letters and questions is True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh. We have a man in our midst who can bring forth truth back beyond doubt, that can open the eyes and ears of those lost in darkness. As Saeed Elimabisa Hadia Maggi is that man, and the author of over 150 books of religion and scientific nature. As Saeed Elimabisa Hadia Maggi has brought forth this information straight from the scripture, but cannot be denied. So we invite you to listen, to learn from the true life featuring as Saeed Elimabisa Hadia Maggi.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لنا المرسلين. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no partner? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
You're now listening to The True Life with As-Sayyid al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi.
I'd like to know, how can we tell that the world is coming to an end?
Let's go to Matthew 24 and read it until we come up with. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you all these things, verily or truly, I say unto thee, or to you all, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Okay? You follow so far? And keep in mind Revelation 18 as we go on. And as he sat, meaning Jesus, on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. That means he was no longer teaching a large population, but he was only talking to his disciples the second time they came to him. Right? Came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? They wanted to know about these things that were mentioned in Revelation chapter 18. When will these things happen? Number four. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We got Yahweh ben Yahweh, he's Christ. We got a host of people in America professing to be Christ. And I've been asked a million times, and I'll answer over another million and one time, do you say that you are Christ? And I say to you, listen, no, I am not Christ. So go tell them lying Sunni Muslims who tell people that I say I am Christ that you heard me say, no, I am not Christ. You understand? Tell them to stop lying on me. Now, did you hear me say it? Ask me, am I Christ? Somebody. No, I am not Christ. See? Simple, right? But tell them to stop lying. All right. But you better take heed, because many people are going to come and say they are Christ, and they're going to deceive many people. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, do Muslims come in Christ's name? No. Does a real Israelite, not Yahweh ben Yahweh, because they do, in a subtle kind of way, come in Christ's name, most of the so-called black American Israelites. But do any Muslims that you know of or real Israelites come in Christ's name? Yes or no? Who comes in Christ's name? Christian, Christ, Christian, Christ, Christian, Christian, Christ.
And Jesus said to watch out for people coming in his name. Because he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Allah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called. You see that? And that was a future tense that wasn't even talking about the people of his time, because he used the word shall. And the word peacemaker is salam, and one who's of peace is Muslim. So Jesus said, blessed are the Muslims, they shall be called the children of Allah. And he tells you here in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name and say I am of Christ and am not. That's going to pick it again. Watch. Number 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled. Are we not hearing of wars and rumors of war now? All over the world. But don't worry about it. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Is it not that easy? For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Iraq, Persia, Iran, South America, America, Vietnam, Korea, Japan. Nation shall rise against nation when it deals with people of political status and kingdom against kingdom. He covered everybody. And there shall be famine and pestilence, which is a repeat from Revelation chapter 18, and earthquakes in diverse places, in all kinds of strange places you need that earthquake. All these are the beginnings of the sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You will be hated because you believe in the Messiah. Muslims don't believe in the Messiah, though they say they do. They say one is coming. They don't believe in him. The only Muslims in the world that recognize the Messiah, the Ansari, and they call us crazy. And we welcome that title because blessed is he who is persecuted after righteous name's sake. You know, they persecuted all the prophets that were before you, the Bible says. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now you have all the Sunni Muslim imams going out west to study under white Arabs. You're talking about some serious problems here amongst the Americans. You're going to be betrayed by these people. I just heard that the teacher was teaching them from overseas in the Sunni Muslims. They have a flyer that they're circulating that he betrayed them. Now the white Arabs are sending all of them out west to study under some more white Arabs. Why don't they just send some money here and build some schools in New York and Philadelphia where you see large quantities of blacks? Why don't they build it right here? Why you got to leave your family and go way out there? Saudi Arabia got enough money to build a school in 1 year. They can have schools all over the United States if they want to really propagate Deen al-Islam here. They want to smother it, because when they brought Islam to America, they never intended for it to fall in the hands of the original seed. It was for white people to try to control them politically. And what happened is the people whose religion it is missed it, and the people whose way of life it is, yours picked it up. And now you have a bigger problem. You're worse than an epidemic. The truth is more dangerous than anything. Go ahead. All these are the beginning of sorrows, I read. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall be waxed cold. Because there's so many false prophets, there's so many false teachings, people don't know which way to turn, now you have a waxed coat over your heart. You don't know who to open your heart to. The Jehovah's Witness sound right. The Seventh-day Adventist sound right. The Ansar sound right. The Sunni sound right. Farrakhan sounds right. Now people's hearts are turned cold because of the iniquity of the devil. He created all of these different paths to confuse you. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, make you free. Number 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Not those who come in the community and leave, only those who stay to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There at that point, Isa el Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, answered the disciples' question. He told them what to expect. And then he told them who to avoid. And then he told them, and when that happens, then it'll come. Well, we're living in a time when there's rumors of war, kingdom against kingdom, nations against nations. We got false prophets and false Christ, and we got false gods. Is God here? People saying they're God. Some saying they're Christ. Some saying they're this. Some saying they're that. Men are delivering each other. The Sunni Muslims are selling out. They're selling their souls to the pale Arabs for salaries, betraying one another. All of my family get together on when to break the fast and start the fast, or where to have the khutbah, who's going to give the khutbah. All of these are the prophecies, and they're manifesting right in front of us today. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of in the book of Daniel, read Daniel 9 and you see it, stand in the holy place, not places, come to the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High, be here. Whosoever readeth this, let him understand. That's in brackets, which means they added that section. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And that's taking place now in Judea. The Palestinians have been pushed out of their motherland by other people. They're living up in the mountains, and Germans are taking Palestine and turning it into a new state of Israel. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That means when the day comes, that those people who are in the city, Judea represents the city, go to Jazir Abir, go up to the mountain. What do I keep telling you we have to do? We have to get out of here and get up on the mountain. You know one of the reasons why? Do you know that a mountain can protect you against radiation? Do you know that? Read, go study. A mountain can protect you from radiation. And the property that we found is one of the highest points where our community is upstate. Real high up. It was selected purposely to be in the right place. So you're nailed to the ship and protected against the radiation. Like I said last year, when mosquitoes start coming this summer and biting homosexuals, and they start biting you, you have a serious problem. Not just homosexuals, now women are carrying it, and drug addicts are carrying it, and animals are carrying AIDS. And when they start biting and biting you, I don't care who you think you are, how tough a guy or gal you think you are, you can die of AIDS. And you don't have to explain to anybody you ain't homosexual if you just come up tomorrow with AIDS. And there's half of the population who don't listen to the news don't know that AIDS is being spread many different ways now. Mosquitoes are going to bring AIDS to these cities. You understand? AIDS are going to come through the cities and mosquitoes. You wait for the epidemic of AIDS starts to spread this summer. Epidemics of drug addicts are spreading. It's becoming dangerous to walk down the street. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You see what it's trying to tell you? If you're saying, well, my family lives in Mauritius, or my family lives in Jamaica, or my family lives in Puerto Rico, I want to go home and contact my family first. Tells you, don't do that. Don't go to the field and then come home. Leave from there, right there. Get in the tabernacle. I'll go on. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that get stuck in those days. It says, when that last hour ticks, the women that are pregnant or breastfeed, why? Why woe to them? Because we're talking about radiation. We're talking about children born today that are born drug addicts because of their dumb parents. People born in double poverty. People born to families that don't have nothing, starving. Little innocent babies not even given a chance in the world because their mother and father are crack addicts. You understand? Because in this day and time, it feels sorry. It's not for the mother, it's for the baby. Woe to those women that are pregnant or that are breastfeeding. The radiation, the poison, the filth, and the poverty, and it's a shame. I'm not telling you not to have children. I'm telling you to be in the tabernacle and have your children. Well, you're protected by the tabernacle of the Most High. He has always given us, when we was Israel, he told Moses in Exodus 15 to build an ark of a covenant, which is a protection. Did you see that movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark?
No, sir, I didn't see it.
That same thing was constructed the same way Moses built the Ark of the Tabernacle. Same thing they had in that movie. All the Amorites were fighting over it. When they finally got it in the cave, angels of fire came out of that ark and just tore them to pieces. The devil wants the truth, but truth is too heavy for him. Pray. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. It says, you better hope that the catastrophe does not come in the middle of the winter. Why? Because this man has the power to cut off your gas, your electric, your heat. He can immobilize you. He can hide in your house. He can just cut it all off if you're not prepared. Them projects are made of metal and brick. You know what happens if they cut off the heat of the project in the middle of the winter? They become refrigerators. He knows what he's building. He knows how he's doing this. He says, you better pray that that final click don't be in the middle of the winter. And it better not be on the Sabbath, because the Lord is writing this as if you keep the Sabbath. Knowing that you can't walk but so many miles, or you can't do but so many things on the Sabbath if you live by the law of the Sabbath. And he said, you better hope it don't happen in the winter of the Sabbath, because you're going to be right in the midst of the devil. You ain't going to do nothing about it. Number 21. But then shall be great tribulation, such as what? Tell me.
It was not since the beginning of the world to this time.
Nor
ever shall be.
Now, what tribulation took place in the beginning of the world? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12 to find out. Verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, right?
Yes, sir.
Number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, was deceiving how many people?
The whole world.
He deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. See that? That's what took place in the beginning, that they're telling you in Matthew 24. A battle like that, that has never happened since the beginning of the world, the battle of the whole heavens and the earth, and it ain't going to never happen again after this. And you're going to be in the midst of it. 22. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. You understand what that means?
Yes,
that means people are now saying, it was just a week last week. Jerry, I'll sit up there again this Sunday. What happened to the week? Time is going by. You're missing days. You thought maybe it was over today. I thought it was Monday. Yeah, you're in the middle of the week. The time is zooming up. You can watch days and nights pass. But the Lord says, if he didn't shorten the day, we would not make it to heaven. We'd fall behind if he didn't make it. We just meet. Because the devil is getting very powerful in his temptation. His world is getting more colorful and more delicious and more exciting every day. He's creating more. He's giving more Negroes opportunities in the theatrical world, in the medical world, in the political world. He's opening doors for us to be tempted by him. What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Just because of you, he will shorten time. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, there is Christ, or there, don't believe it. Telling you in this last day and time, a whole lot of people are going to pop up and say, there's Christ. There's Christ. Here's Christ. Now, that's the guy who horizontally, you understand about horizontally?
Yes.
That's the Christ walking up on me and you. Now let's go to the other kind of Christ. So if you don't believe that one, the Bible right there tells me, somebody will say, there goes Christ, don't believe it. Let me find out what else it says for this other kind of belief in Christ. 24 says, for there shall arise false glory Christ and false prophets. It separated those people who call themselves Christ from those who call themselves prophets. You got all these false prophets. They don't call themselves Christ. They just call themselves prophets. They're prophesying. There are no more prophets after Muhammad. And shall show great signs and wonders. Will they have the power to heal? Will these false Christ have the power to heal and stuff? What the Bible say? they shall show great signs and wonders. That the will has the power to do these things. But it goes on and gives you a little catch. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the one who is. But can a Muslim be deceived? They can't fool us no more. We know better. All we got to do is they get the rattling off of their mouth. We listen what they say. They go, oh, there's one of them false prophets. Let's move on. 25. Behold, what did Jesus say? Behold, now what?
I have told you before.
Go ahead. Wherefore?
Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert.
If they tell you that Jesus Christ is going to come out of the desert, he's going to come on the temple in Jerusalem and out of the desert. He's going to come, he's going to rise up in Israel in the desert. What will say to with those guys?
Go not forth, behold.
Now, don't go. A whole bunch of brothers left Chicago on their way to Israel years ago. They were going to wait for the Messiah in 1957. And they're still waiting for the Messiah in 1987. But the Bible told them, don't go over there looking for him. But what? Behold,
he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not.
Now, someone tells you he's in some secret chamber in heaven next to God. And he's going to come out in clouds and ride forth in glory, and a whole bunch of little fat angels with little wings are going to be around him, and there's going to be music and harps and little people singing, and everything is going to be so beautiful. They're just crying and carrying on, and they're all happy. They're about to go, yes, he says what? Believe it?
Not.
Don't believe what he has told you. All the things that people tell you to believe about Christ, Christ just told you, don't believe it. If someone tells you he's a man, don't believe it. If someone says he's of Christ, don't believe it. If he says he's a prophet of Christ, don't believe it. If he says he's going to come in Jerusalem or in the desert, don't believe it. If he says he's going to come out of the sky up in some sacred chamber, don't believe it. So now, what do we believe? Because everything I've ever read, from the Jehovah's Witness to the Seventh-day Adventist to the Muslim to the Jews is right here. Jesus said, don't believe it. You know why? Because Christ is not going to come like that. He sent his angel to testify for him. It's mentioned in Revelation chapter 1. He sent his angel signifying it for him. The only thing you think about the way he's going to come is not true, because he's not going to come that way. So you can look up in the sky all you want. They've been waiting for 2,000 years for Jesus. They didn't look it up. In church and get the popping tambourines and screaming and singing, having a good time, and still got to pay rent the next month. You understand that? Because they don't want to read this little verse. It tells them the way they think he's going to come, he's not going to come. And now it tells you in 27 how to expect it. For as the lightning, what is lightning?
True.
Positive and negative charges of energy. Hey. Created by a clash of hot and cold weather. It gives off electrical charges, and you see lightning. Watch. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, the world is going to shine.
Even into the west.
Then what?
So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
Now, are y'all not the sons and daughters of man? Who are given the power to become the sons and daughters of God? You understand that? Were you not born of a man? A mortal? You are the sons of man. And you are the sons of God when you accept the truth of the oneness of Allah. The light shining out of east, where do you think you came from? You think you was always there in the west? You came out of east. Unto the west, shining forth. Now you're trying to bring back pure Islam, and you have rose in the west and shining forth towards the east. You know about that, traveling east, right?
A little.
Enough, sir. You understand?
Yes, sir.
The light of the Most High is like a tabernacle prepared for a bride that's coming down out of heaven into your heart, and you shall shine forth with the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in accepting that truth, you make a transformation from a son of man to a son of God, like it says. That's the truth. That's what the Bible says. All other brothers were other men's heads. Number 28, if you want to go on. And he covered the main gist of it. Where wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. The carcass, people?
Carcass.
See what it says in 28. For wheresoever the carcass is,
there will the eagle be gathered together.
And that's their power. That was always a symbol. Number 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now you're talking about the end of the world. Now we're talking serious end of world here. We're talking about the stars falling out the sky and the sun and moon being blocked. You know if the sun was cut off from the earth within 15 minutes, you always need to death? Number 30. And then shall appear the sign of what?
The Son of Man.
Where?
In heaven.
That is the formation of the constellation. The sign of the Son of Man appearing is going to be that. You don't see it.
And then shall
all the tribes of the earth mourn.
And they shall see
the Son of Man coming in clouds of
heaven, with
power and great glory. That's from Daniel. You see that? That's the mothership. That's the elders. Fernando is there. Fernando is Jesus' real name. Fernando is there. He's with them. But so is Elijah. And so is Jeremiah. And so is all the rest of the great prophets. They're there. After the world is about ready to destroy itself, you're going to see that ship come forth. And what else?
And he shall seal the right angels.
He shall send
the right
his angels
with a great sound of a trumpet.
And that angels, as I told you, around about the throne, are nothing but extraterrestrials. But the sound of the trumpet is mentioned in the Holy Quran, chapter 20, verse 102. On a day when a trumpet is blown, he says, gather the gates of you out on that day. Remember that one? That trumpet is the same trumpet. And that angel is Raphael, who holds the trumpet to blow for the judgment of the world.
And they shall gather together to be left.
That means 144,000 will be gathered and be prepared to be taken away.
From the four winds.
From the four ships that are at the four corners, it'll hold them like the wind for the world of the spirit, though.
From one end of heaven to the other.
That means they'll travel into galactic. They're going to leave this atmosphere and go straight on the other side of the black hole, see? I want to get back to get heaven. That's pretty good.
Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is
near. Is near. He's telling us that the end of the world is symbolic of a fig tree. When you start seeing the signs of its leaves, you better know that the food is going to grow. All the things that we mentioned, rumors of war, questions, diseases, and famine, those are the leaves on the fig tree blossoming. That means that this judgment is very near. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
That's clear, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be what?
Fulfilled.
You aren't going anywhere. This generation is not going anywhere until you get all those plagues. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
But at that day and that
but at that day.
An hour.
An hour.
Knoweth no man. No,
not the angels of heaven,
but my Father only.
The only one that knows that hour of judgment is the Heavenly Father. The angels don't even know. We can't tell you when it's going to end. Only Allah Ta'ala knows the exact moment. Go ahead.
But as the days of Noah
were as, that's right, as in the days of Noah
were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
What happened in Noah? nor went around warning people about the end of the world, warning people about a delusion. They called him crazy. Why they called him crazy? He was building a boat out in the desert. Didn't that look crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how we look building this tabernacle in the middle of New York City, telling people to stop having a good time and put on white and learn to pray. Of course we look crazy. Of course they'll say you're all a brainwash. Of course they're going to persecute you for wanting to be an anti-Semite, put a veil on your face, and walk around a white long dress every day, a male or a female. Of course they're going to say he enough, because that's what they did to Noah. Noah came and said, it's going to rain 4 days and 4 nights. They said, in the desert, good. That means our crops will grow.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission. We, the Nubian Islamic Hebrews, would like to hear from you. Write us and let us know how the true light has made a difference in your life. Unlike those fake healers and lying preachers, we are not asking you to send us money for prayer cloths and lucky numbers. We are a self-supporting program. We just ask that you show your support by writing at Saeed El-Imam Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. Let him know how the true light has made a difference in your life. We are asking you don't send your hard-earned money to those lying men who claim to come in the name of Jesus and who really come in the name of themselves. So beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
He said, yeah, but y'all over here. Mm-hmm. Did y'all get the Noah book? The Noah book is out now. The
yes,
new
sir.
Book, Noah 1 and 2.
1 and 2, I have them.
I'm telling you, that's some heavy material.
Mm.
It's going to get heavier, too, believe me. Go ahead.
For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and
that's
giving
it.
In marriage, mm-hmm. until the day that
that's
Noah it. Entered into the ark.
That means back then before the flood, they were having they were partying up, just like today, having a good time. And then that hour came. Go ahead.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man be.
See, they ain't going to believe you. They all going to be out there still popping their fingers and dancing, having a good time. I must have touched some sauce by the couple of y'all. Okay. They'll be out there having a good time, and all of a sudden, bam, in one day, it says in Revelation 18, in 1 hour, this big city, this Babylon, is made desolate, which people thought could never fall. They're going to catch people having a good time, going on the subway, on their way to Wall Street, on their way to get their suit out to clean up for the party, on their way to get our hair re-permed. I'm going to get my nails rebuilt. I got to find me a pair of shoes to match this new pantsuit I got. I got to go down and get the key for this new car I'm buying. I got to go see this new apartment. I'll pick up my furniture. I'll call this man about my dog who got a broken leg. And that's when it's going to happen. When they least expect it, that's when it's going to strike. Go ahead.
Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left.
That's what they call the rapture. You look next to the person next to you. You see that person next to you? Come on, everybody. Don't
yes,
be afraid.
Sir.
If you like that person, realize that if y'all don't become one, one of y'all ain't going. The Bible says two people will be together. One is going and one is staying behind. Unless y'all become one in faith, one in spirit, one of y'all are going to stay behind. Now, y'all pick Go ahead.
Two women shall be grinding at the mill.
One shall,
so one
be,
shall
taken,
be taken and the other
shall be left.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
That's right. You don't know what hour the Lord is going to make this judgment come. Two women together, see the two sisters there sitting in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Two of them together, one of them are going and one of them are not. But don't mess around and be so silent with somebody who don't have as much faith as you, and they're trying to keep you out the tabernacle for their reason. And then you know them, go. Let's go.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known it.
Had known in what watch,
the
thief would come. That's right.
He would have watched and would have suffered
his house. What that means, if the man, the good man, had known exactly when the burglar was going to come in and burglarize his house, he would have been sitting there to catch him. That's those people in there that say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to prolong it to the last minute, then take my shahada right before judgment day. I'm going to finish this partying first, then I'm going to come in. I want to finish. No, no, it ain't going to work like that. He's going to come like a thief in the night.
We will return with the true life after this brief intermission. Now is the time to ask questions of your leaders, teachers, and preachers. Where did all the races of people come from? Why did John have to baptize Jesus at the Jordan? And why do the four Gospels contradict each other? The answer to these questions can be with only one man, as Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, the man who has written over 150 books on such topics as, is there life on other planets? How were the pyramids built? What race was Adam and Eve? And was the Holy Quran made up by Muhammad, or was it a divine scripture sent from the Most High? And what is the difference between the spirit and the soul? The answer to these questions can be found in the most dynamic books in history, authored by Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. These books can be purchased at the original Tempter Keter at 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. Would you like to see the man behind the voice you hear teaching the total truth? He is there at the Hall of Knowledge located at 548 Hart Street, Brooklyn, New York. Every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m., the Nubian Islamic Hebrews would like to invite you to question and answer classes with Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Come listen and learn. Hear the words of truth for yourself. Hear the answers to long-awaited questions. Also for your spiritual growth, an intricate design woven prayer rug designed by the hand of Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Also available are prayer beads, incense, and oils. If you would like any further information on these items, contact the original Tents of Kedar, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221. And be sure to ask for a listing of the most dynamic books in history, offered by Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi. Now let us continue with the true light. Remember, you are the light, and you have the power over all things.
Go ahead. And would have suffered his house to be broken up.
Is that it?
Therefore, be also ready. For on such an hour as you think
not
the Son of Man cometh.
When you don't think he's going to come, that's when he'll be here. Y'all did not expect it, did y'all? And y'all were merrymaking in 1970, and out of nowhere pops this man with this new doctrine that has y'all sitting in this room. You wasn't ready for it. You just were so nosy, you couldn't resist it. You saw this book, it had all this funny stuff on the cover, and you said, Nubian Islamic Hebrew. Leviathan 666. Now, what is that? And you start beginning to say, whoa, look at this, a dollar bill. And I'm going to read this. And you read it, and you said, that's interesting. Now I got to get another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. And you've been another one in ever since, because your nose got you in it. Your body's mad at your nose in case you don't know it. But you then nose your way into a doctrine that's calling for more. See, the Bible says the truth is sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly, the little book they call in Revelation. Sweet in the mouth and bitter. When you first hear about Islam, you heavy. You're the heaviest guy in your neighborhood now. You can go bust people up. You're heavy now. You're burning hot stuff. And then someone says, well, don't those people wear veils? Well, I'm going to get around to that soon. Well, don't they all live together? I'll be there. I'm moving in. When? Because right now, you know, your conversation don't mean nothing because you ain't living all the law. And then eventually, all you have, then you got to try not to let people know you know this. Then you got to try to be cool and don't say nothing about the doctrine. You know what I'm saying? When they can look in your eye and they know that you're not the normal no more, you know. People look at you and they say, you know something. I don't know what it is you know, but you know something because you are out of place. You go to a party now. You go and try. You're in a party. You can try to have a good time, but you're looking around at these people and saying, these people are stupid. You see a person take a piece of paper with some leaves in it and put a match to it and puff on it. Simply called a cigarette. And you're looking at it and say, this guy's smoking paper and leaves. Before, you didn't see it that way. Mm. You see a guy walk up to a bar and take an alcoholic drink, put it to his lips, down rubbing alcohol with some food coloring in it, make a strong face like, give me another hit.
And stuff in the back of your mind says, strange. The man takes and builds a car and makes the speed 55 miles an hour and then puts 180 miles on the speedometer. You follow that?
Yes, sir.
That's why you kill yourselves. If he didn't want people to kill themselves, he'd only put 55 miles an hour on the speedometer. The car wouldn't go no further. He got to tell you, you better not drive around more than 55 miles an hour, but go buy this Porsche that does 240. The devil is doing his work, y'all, 24 hours a day. Go ahead, read on.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom as Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in the season?
He tells you, I'm the Son of Man, right? He's wise and he's loyal, because he's a servant of the Lord, and he will be the one to prepare the household to provide for you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, so
fine.
Fine, so doing.
That's right. Blessed is the servant who, when the truth comes, he'll be found in his God, found in righteousness. He's going to make it. Go ahead. Verily I say unto you
that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Ain't that great? In 48.
And if that evil servant shall say it
in his heart,
my Lord delayeth his coming.
If the evil servant says, my Lord is not coming yet. I mean, remember the guy who says, you'll put it off for later? What did it say about him? And shall begin to smite his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunken. People who were in, drop back out and went back into the world and get involved. What did it say about him?
The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him.
That's right.
And in an hour that he is not aware of.
Go ahead.
And what shall he do? Cut him asunder and appoint him this portion with the hypocrites.
That's right.
There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Now, we went through the whole Matthew 24, verse by verse. This is how you read the Bible. You don't be jumping from place to place unless you're trying to make a point and you don't have the time. Read the whole thing so you can see what it says.
It's what race of people were the Egyptians who had the people in Egypt under bondage and that Moses had came to.
All right. What happens with Egypt is, like I was teaching on this last night, what happens with Egypt is most of your scholars, especially Americans, are getting all their translations from English. So therefore, none of them, or most of them, have taken the time to learn hieroglyphics. Or they strain their hieroglyphics from the Rosetta Stone, which was in Greek. So they say that this new Rosetta Stone, which was in Greek, gave them the power to translate the hieroglyphics, which was an ancient Egyptian language written and not spoken. They never even bothered to check up on the word Greek. If you really research the word Greek, you'll find out that the word Greek or Greece or Grecia means to be uncertain. The word itself means uncertain. Why? How silly the Christians look when they say Jesus revealed the books to them in Greece. Greek. All right. Now, when you talk about Egypt, you got to understand that when you say we're going up the Nile, you're really going south. You follow that? You're going from Egypt or Alexandria down towards Sudan, which means you pass through Cairo or Cahira, down into Luxor and Nubia, and then down into Sudan, where there are pyramids, but the white man refuses to mention that there are pyramids in Sudan, you see, that you can see. All right. What he tries to make people think is whenever he speaks of Egypt, he's talking about Alexandria, which is to the north, connected to the Mediterranean, by which entrance from Europe was easily made. So the invasion by Caucasoid people called Franks and Anglets, or whatever Saxons, which became Anglo-Saxon or English people, and Franks, which became known as French, and Iranians or Aryans, which became known as the germ seed or the man with the germ or Germans. You see, all of these people fell their way into northern Africa from the Mediterranean and invaded Egypt on countless times. Thus, when you look in the northern part of Egypt at the hieroglyphics, you see what they would call a rainbow coalition, which is a joke. We don't need a rainbow coalition mixing out seed with other people. Only people who need seeds mixed with them want to mix. White people need us to mix with them. We don't need them. We've survived for millions of years without him. He can't even survive 6,000. Okay? So now, when you get most of your books in America and they teach you in college about Egypt, they're teaching you about Alexandria. And that's why they always take you to Cleopatra and how a man named Alexandria went over to Egypt and Caesar came over to Egypt and Pophocles came over to Egypt and got their philosophy, which they later called the Hermes doctrine or the Kabbalion, not the Kabbalah. You follow that? Yeah. I'm building around something, so bear with me.
Okay.
So when you get to the southern part of Egypt, which is really the north, because like I said, the Nile travels down to Sudan, but they say it's going up. So the white man is such a devil that he switched everything around to confuse people. Whenever they speak about the seed that Ibrahim and them came in contact with, or that Musa, Ibrahim is Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, or Musa, which is Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam, who came in contact with Ramses in them, they were talking about Ramses of Luxor, not Ramses of Alexandria. But when they give you their movies in America about the Bible, they pull it up into Alexandria, where they had been invaded by whites and mixed in. Thus, you see on the hieroglyphics of the pyramids of the northern part in Cairo, you see all different colors Egyptians. But when you get to the lower, which is really the upper, now I'm not trying to confuse you, bear with it. When you get to the lower Luxor in Sudan, inside the pyramids, you see all dark people, which were the real seed of Mizraim from Kush. The word Egypt, listen, is from the word Mizraim, from the seed of Kush, who came over into Ethiopia or Africa and moved down into Luxor, Nubia, Sudan, Somali, Habashi, Ethiopia. They all were the descendants of Nabi Noah, who was perfect in his generation and was the Black Sea. So that when Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in Egypt, he was talking not up in Alexandria, but lower Egypt, which is really upper Egypt. Okay, I got to keep saying that because they keep playing words with you. And he was in the midst of all blacks, which are the Sudanese, the Nubians. And when Bani Israel, which are the children of Israel, migrated from the land of Canaan into Egypt because that was the only place where there was grain, they encountered Nubian people, which were Sudanese, which was black. And when Joseph blended in Egypt as an officer in the ranks of Egypt because of his ability to interpret dreams, he blended in amongst blacks. But when his other brothers, along with their father, Yaqub or Jacob, came to Egypt, which was Luxor or Nubia in Sudan region, and they could not differentiate Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, Joseph, from the other Egyptians, it's because he was black. Now, all this blackness is not necessary because we don't need this racism in Islam. However, the white Arab spends a lot of time trying to give us trying to put in our minds that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam Muhammad was white, or a white Arab with a red beard, and that Abraham was white, and that Adam was white, and that Jesus was white. But the moment you and I bring it up, we're racist. Imam Isa is a racist. Don't go to the Ansar community, they talk racism. Your question is a very good question. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Moses, when Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in Egypt, and when Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam, went to Egypt, he encountered black people. Today, if you went to the tree, and I've been there, where Miriam and Jesus rested, it's in the southern part of Cairo, going towards Luxor. You understand?
Yes.
So those were black people who the children of Israel were in bondage to, black Egyptians. And that's why when they say in the second prophecy, in the 15th chapter of Genesis, about Abraham's seed being in bondage for 400 years, and that the Amorites would keep them in bondage, we know he could not have been talking about the children of Israel, because the Amorites did never, ever rule Egypt. It had to be talking about you people who are descendants of Ishmael and Israel here today in the Western world, who have been lost, but now found. Thanks to people like Noble Drew Ali, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Jama Ansar Allah, we have now found our way back to Sabil Allah and Sisala, our chain. Okay?
Assalamu alaikum. I have a question that grieves me a lot, because I'm from a family that were Muslim, or striving for a title. And I'm in a family, whereas my father was Muslim, and they were following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The family divided because one wants to go a positive direction, the other wants to go a negative direction. The question that I have to ask is, families, we all are families, our families that we love so much and so much care about, some of them don't even want us to accept this truth. Would you please explain to me, why is all this happening? Our families are like, we are accepting your word and your truth, but then our fathers and our mothers are like, you know, they're slandering you.
First of all, if they followed the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad properly, right, we'd come up with certain questions that he put forth. One of them is, why is the devil so successful in all his undertakings? Remember that question?
Mm-hmm.
What did it answer? Because those that was his followers, right?
Right.
Obeyed his instructions regardless of what he told them to do.
Right.
Now, in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, he also made mention of, can a Muslim be fooled? And the answer was, not nowadays. Correct?
Right.
The devil tried. But right after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taken up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salam, what happened is the whole community got fooled. Warwick D. Muhammad, who did not follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who had been groomed by pale Arabs to pull down the nation of Islam, was elected into office. You see? And he opened the doors of that holy temple and mixed and diluted and tampered it. What does Honorable Elijah Muhammad say about the word holy? What is holy? Anything that has not been mixed, diluted, or tampered with in any way. And he called them the holy nation of Islam in the teachings. Yet, Warwick D. Muhammad opened the door to let the unholy devil in. Honorable Elijah Muhammad also said, can the devil be reformed?
No.
No. All the scientists have tried. And they came to the conclusion that it could not be done. So how could Warwick D. Muhammad allow the devil inside a holy temple, which would first render it unholy? And if they had obeyed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching, regardless of what he told them to do, you see, all of the scandalism and all of the lies, be they true or false, about his private life, should have never even came up. The devil is successful because his followers obey him. You follow that?
Yes.
Muslims cannot be successful because they refuse to obey their leaders. Black people do just the opposite. When you ask them to obey, they disobey. So now the reason why the family is broken up is because in the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where our paths go slightly different, is I don't teach familyism. I teach tribalism. Meaning, I teach that all the children in the community
are everybody's sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters become mine when you come in this community, and I'm as responsible for them as you are for my children. We don't believe in going home after Thursday night meeting and everybody going to their separate little cubicle called an apartment, and then we got to start coming to the masjid to impress each other. We try to live for, of, and by each other, like Sheikh Daoud had taught. That's all we're telling people, is that either you're of this world or the next. Either you live for the things of this world or you live for Yom Akhir and Jannah. And if you want to give up the things of this world to prepare yourself for the next world, you start by reducing the desires of the material things around you. Start there. Tell them it's not the peddling, it's the books. It's not the incense, it's the teachings that the man has. And tell them if they're not afraid, read it, you see. A lot of people are afraid to read our books.
Yeah.
Because it'll hook you. When you start reading that and follow our publications, you get hooked.
They say truth hurts.
Truth is, yes. It's hard. A whole lot of people sitting in that room are saying, I wish I would have never picked up one of those books.
You know, Lord knows,
I wish I would have just passed that brother on the street, didn't say nothing. Because when I opened that book, I thought it was sweet the first day. The first book was so sweet, I felt so great. And then they told me, you can't smoke, you can't drink, you got to cover your face, you got to wear a long white dress every day, a white cap, you got to move inside of a community. Then it started, all this sweet tasting truth started becoming quite bitter.
Sure.
So a whole lot of people who've been coming here for 1,000 years and ain't moved in yet, ain't make no intentions to move in the community, just coming in, stopping up knowledge, ain't fooling nobody but yourself, because you are hooked. People leave the mosque, they go out in the street, and they say, I hate that place, I don't like this, I don't like this, and they see, you know, 4 months later, you see him back in the street, that's the brother. Hey, that brother, the one I saw in the studio left, who was talking about him, he's back in there. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Alladhi allama bil-qalam. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم
Those are verses 1 through 5 of Salatu Alaq from the Holy Quran chapter, Separation of Self. Now the 96th, originally the first chapter, revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Translation by As-Sa'id Imam Isa al-Hadir Mehmet. And it reads as follows. Begin all things with the illustrious names of Allah, the seal of the most merciful, O seal of the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, by the supreme sovereignty of your sustainer and creator. You are being ordered to read, beginning with the name of your illustrious sustainer who created all things. He, Allah, created all human beings of a separating self. So read, because your sustainer, Allah, is most generous. He uses the quill to teach. He, Allah, taught human beings what they would have never known. You have been listening to The True Life with As-Sa'id al-Imam Isa al-Hadir Mehmet. The Nubian Islamic Hebrew Mission would like you to write or send questions to True Light, 719 Bushwick Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11221.
This is from the 66th surah of the Holy Quran, the 8th verse, and reads, O sustainer, complete for us our light, and forgive us, for surely you have the power over all things.
And I'm not saying L. Don't fool yourself unless you can create an act.
All right, and if you get to that level, I'm just saying, we have to become who we really are. And that makes us responsible for the universe, because that's what we were created to be, caretakers. You hear me? And somewhere along the line, something got removed from us. It got removed in Genesis. If you look at the fourth chapter and the 26th verse, you'll see where it says, and the Almighty gave Adam and Eve another son to replace the other one, like and in the image and after the likeness of Adam. This son, Seth, was not in the image and after the likeness of Elohim, the angelic beings responsible for the replenishing on earth. Read it again. It says, in the image and after the likeness of Adam. What state was Adam in the fourth chapter, which is after the third chapter? Was he in a positive state or had he sinned? You see that? So Seth's seed, meaning most of you, right, were descendants from, like Adam, who had sinned. Now I talk simple, plain common sense. When you take a little baby, I don't care whether it's black, white, or purple, do you have to teach that baby evil, or do they naturally take from other kids? Are they naturally possessors? You follow that? You realize that when your baby is hugging you and mooring on your hand and you're fascinated with what the baby's really trying to do is eat you? Do you know that? You think that when your baby's mooring on your hand, that's cute. Your baby is really trying to eat you. It doesn't know that you're not food. A baby will reject you, and you can say, here's a cookie, and a baby will come. That's a certain part of our nature. That same nature that God took us to the tree. Adam's seed was not good. Our seed was good. You follow that? Adam's name, originally, Adam's name, not Adam. Adam's name, because it says, and call their name Adamah. The word Adamah means of the dust of the ground. But in that same Torah, they give you the name of Adam and Eve when they say male and female created he them and call their names Adam. Now, what is the name then? When they use the word male, the same thing happens in El Quran. They say Zakar wa Antar. We created you male and female. Zakar wa Antar. However, the word Zakar, Zakara, has nothing to do with being a male or female or gender. It has to do with the word to remember, zikr. You follow that? In the Torah, it says, male and female created he them and called their names Adam. Zakar wa Nakibu was their names. When you trace the Nakibu back to ancient Aramaic, it means leadership and out front in power. And Nakibu was the female, not the male. Then Zakar was Adam's name. Adam doesn't mean that's his name. Adam means of the ground, a earth being, as opposed to a Elohim being. There was Elohim of heaven and Elohims on earth, physical ones and spiritual ones. If you want to see it, again, in the book of Malachi, right in the fourth chapter of it, they call them the Almighty God. Before all, they say Godly. And if you flip back to your Aramaic, you'll see they have in there Elohim al-Bashar. Right? Elohim in the flesh. Now, so you had Adam seed, who's an Elohim, and you have Nakibu, who you call Hawa. And the reason why they call her Hawa or Haya, because it meant wind. You follow that? It meant the breath, the nachas, that breathes into a person. And the reason why they say that woman comes out of man is because man decides the gender of the child, whether it's an XY chromosome, not that somebody snaps nobody's rib, rip their chest open. That's not what's in there. You're talking about a replenishing of the world, not a creation of the world. Adam and Eve were not the first people on the planet for us. You understand that? I'll give you some simple reasons why. One is we use a basic biblical concept. We have Cain, Abel, Adam, and Eve. Is that the basic Christian concept? Yeah. How many people was that? four people. Cain kills Abel. He eliminates one of the people. How many people are left? Who are these people? Right? Adam, Eve, and Cain. Three people. Right? Now, when the Almighty addresses Cain concerning the killing of his brother, Cain cried that his penalty is greater than he could bear, right? And then he said he put a mark on him, right? A birthmark, exactly what it is, a birthmark on him. That what? What was Cain afraid of? Tell me. Anybody what? Cain was afraid that if anybody finding him will kill him. Could you tell me who was going to find him if there's only three people on the planet? Who was he afraid of if there was nobody else on the planet but him, his mother, and father? It wasn't his father he was worrying about. It wasn't his mother he was worrying about. There must have been other people on the planet that he was worried about that would kill him. And when he left that land and went into the land of Nod, he encountered other people. There was already there, Nephilians. Then again, they say, the man should leave his mother and his father and cling unto his wife, and they should become one flesh, correct? If these are the first people on the planet, who was that law for before it was said to them? It didn't say you are to leave your mother and father. It said a man, as if the law was already set. A man is to leave his mother and leave his father and cling unto his wife, and they're to become one flesh. If that law was set, who was it set for if there was nobody there? And nobody else got married. You follow? And why is the word refill or replenish? Because in Hebrew or Aramaic, the word is bara. They don't use the word halakha. Yes, there is a Hebrew word halakha, meaning creation, and it talks about the original creation that took place billions of years ago. But Adam and Eve, 49,000 years ago, was a recreation, a bara. And look it up in Hebrew. You see right there, bara. And that means to remake, to remodel, or to rebuild, not to create.
Just another day that the Lord has kept me. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. Oh, yeah. He has kept me from all sin and evil. He kept me with my mind stayed on Jesus. Another day.
Pop, what did they mean by the prophet? Get all that that I just said in your mind first. Yeah? And know how they Laura and who she is, who's riding that beast, and what is her most powerful asset, which is lust. You with me? And whether you are a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, it doesn't make a difference whether you're calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or if you're calling on Theos or Kurios, you're calling on Yeshua or Elohim. It doesn't make a difference. But all their names fall short of the Most High, Elyon, Elyon, Al. You understand? The name of the God that Jesus Christ himself prayed to. You do know Jesus went to God. And Jesus prostrated his face while his disciples fell asleep. And he said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then not by me, but if thou will be done. The angel is sending assurance that Jesus is ready. He's ready to face him. Well, guess I have to die. But I didn't gave him anything else. I made the blind see. I done made the triple walk. I done multiplied the fishes and the loaves. I send it in front of you. You know that? I did it all. I transfigured and transformed myself for you. I brought back Moses and Elijah for you to see. I did everything to tell you that there is a life after this life, that you have no reason to fear the sting of death. No reason to fear it, because this is just a transportation stage to another, back to the bosom of God. But first of all and foremost, you got to be pleased. You got to put on an incorruptible spirit. And I didn't say you got to put on a coat. I said you got to put on an incorruptible spirit. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What does it mean? It means that nothing can corrupt your spirit again. That when the devil comes in any form, in any fashion, with any kind of temptation, what do you say? Get me hence, Satan. For it is written, you shall serve the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve. And Satan will back off from a praying man or woman. He'll go right up to the Atlanta or New York, and you'll find them in the clubs. They call it a club because this is what happens to you in here. They beat you on your brain with music. That's why I call a club. He asks you to become uncorrupted, to wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. That knowledge that someone died for you, that that person was a son of God, a Yahweh, a Hurrios in Greek. He was not the God, but the Son of God. And he had the power not to die as the Son of God, but he took on the flesh so that he could suffer the way you would suffer and feel the pain that you would feel. So he could die for you and you could feel it as he's dying. And then resurrect to say, see, the sting of death was sin. The fact that you're afraid to die proves you're a sinner. First Corinthians chapter 15. But if you were living by the letter of the law, if you were living by commandments and statutes of God, you would not be afraid to die. You see, the Pope keeps trying to live. Yes, there is. The Pope is trying to live. He got a battle on his bulletproof. He drives through the city inside a glass bulletproof cage going. You know what this is? You can't shoot me now. You can't shoot me now. And then says that he's an intercessor for God on earth. Farrakhan walks around with a bunch of bodyguards.
Okay.
They're on the stage. I'm Farrakhan. I'm in direct contact with Allah. And let me talk to y'all for about 5 hours, but I'm not. I know you only got nothing else to do. But if you did, you wouldn't have came here. And he got bodyguards.
Women.
Women also, but he don't have God's body. He got body God, but not God's body. Because if he had God's body, he know that God can die for him and come back.
Right.
And he would no longer fear death. Because people tell you about me, you don't know what that's saying. I just saw him walking around in Africa by himself. You know what I mean? Right? I was in the mall in Atlanta and he walked by me, just him and his daughter or somebody. Am I lying? You might see me anywhere. You come walking out of movie theater, you know? What you doing here? People go, oh, he'll look at me like I'm not there. He just did up. Yeah. That's me as long as I came out my mouth. That's me. Well, guess what? I want to ask you a question.
All these men are afraid to die because they are not living the letter of the law. I'm sorry. Did I stay happy? But it says rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Almighty.
Because, you know, they've been persecuting me as long as I can remember.
Mother of harlots,
and abominations of the earth. You hear that? You got mystery. There's something hidden beneath what they do. There's a certain secrecy to how they act. You understand what I'm saying? And they tell you that this is Babylon, the great, an abomination to people in the world. What they propose to propagate as the angels that fell from grace in Revelation chapter 12 and fought against Michael, those angels, and the word is angelos, and it means messengers. Those angels came to earth with a message, and they propagate their message of pornography and filth and abomination and lust, and it brings down nations and people. Red. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. She's drunk with the blood of the saints. Kill Dr. Martin Luther King. Kill Mega Evans. Kill Malcolm. Kill Kennedy. And I bet you can go on how many great men of Christ and God has fallen because she wanted to get rid of them because she was afraid that they were going to change the course of the world for the better. Red.
And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
The martyrs of Jesus. People who were willing to die in the name of Jesus rather than punk out like most people. And a lot of people here, I got to give it to you. They got attacked by devils on all sides down here in this little town. And nobody came to their aid. They continue to fight and continue to struggle. They go in and out of being Christians. Ride by every day and see the sign. John 3:15, God so loved the world, but ain't Christians. Well, what are they? Some of them are Muslims. Some of them are Christians. Some of y'all are Hebrews. Some of y'all are rocks, I think. Which is, of course, your prerogative. You understand what I mean? But we had to be everything you could think of. But we stood fast, kept the faith, continued to fight, and victory is ours. Because we're back out here on this earth, on this land, spreading the gospel. Still building pyramids. Still doing what we want to do. And doing better than we even thought. Because of the pressure you put on us, you don't know when you get a nigga in a headlock, he gets stronger. Y'all shouldn't have grabbed us in no headlock. We never would have got this far. Y'all let us mold you along. You know how we are. We just, I guess it's pretty permanent for me or something. I guess we are how we is. But if you make a loud noise, oh shit, let's go, niggas, get super gear. Run for fun.
Okay. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
When John, son of Zebedee, the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, looked at New York City, the great Babylon, the great palace, with all the pornography and nudity and music and colors and every kind of restaurant and every kind of bug and every kind of disease and every kind of clothes and all kind of fancy cars and all kind of funny looking people with thorns and speckles and fins and feathers and hooks and nails and tattoos and tails and fangs and claws and roars and bars. Man, New York had everything. It was all so bright. Then what happened to him? We did it again. Y'all sent me crazy. Don't blame me. I was my grandmother's good old boy, and y'all sent me crazy. Now I'm doing my father's work. What happened? Read it again.
And when I saw her, I wanted.
And when John saw her, he wondered with great admiration. He looked at the hole and said, she's fine. No, if I wasn't John, I'll tell you, she must have been real fine, right? But John is standing there with an angel standing next to him, a warring angel, and John still went, hey. And now, listen to what the angel has to say to John.
And the angel said unto me, wherefore doest thou marvel?
What the heck?
Where'd your mind just go, John? Read again, dear.
And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel?
See, the angel saw in John's eyes.
Yes, yes.
When John was like this.
Oh, shit.
Well, the angel was like, hey, wake up. Where did your mind just go, John? Let's see, John answered me.
And that tells thee the mystery of the...
No, he didn't. The angel jumped out. John, I'm going to tell you how to do that. John did not answer. The angel said, let me tell you the mystery of this great harlot. Let me tell you the secret about her, John. Now you read it. Go on now.
I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her.
Not only her, but the beast that she is on. What did he say about it?
The top of seven heads and ten horns.
Seven heads and ten horns. Speaking of seven nations and kingdoms, I list them in here. United States, England, Russia, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. Ten horns. England, France, Spain, Germany, Russia, Hungary, Italy, Greece, Turkey, and the U.S. today. Those are the countries that are ruling the world, seven and ten, and the harlot is ruling them. And they're ruling us because they have us lusting after their rights, lusting after their image, wanting to be in the image of the beast, wanting to live deliciously in her, wanting too much wealth, too much power, too much of everything. Until our desires are leading us to much suffering. We want more than we need. Right? That's not what we said. We said, give us each day our
daily bread.
That's all. Just enough to get through from day to day. But we're trying to stack up things. Things that rust and spoil, the Bible says. Go ahead, sister. I'll be on me. Go ahead.
Okay. The beast that thou seest was and is not.
This beast that you're looking at was and is not. You see that? You know what that means? There was an old Babylon. It does not exist no more. Next, go ahead, the next line.
It shall ascend out of the bottomless pit.
It's going to come up again out of the bottom. This pit. Good.
And go into perdition.
Now, remember the bottomless pit. Because the bottomless pit is where the bomb is going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder.
Good.
Whose names were not...
These people are going to wonder. A certain group of people are going to wonder because their names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, because they are the devil's children. We gave birth to some of them. They have our blood in their veins, but they don't think scripture. They think party. They think fun. They think boys. They think girls. They think all this good time, all this wealth, all the things. I want to be a singer. I want to be a model. I want to be a dancer. They want to be a whole lot of things. But they don't want to be a child of God. Because they don't want to be a child of God, their name has never been entered into the book of life. They walk in talking with you every day. And they're the devil's seed. Ain't that something? If you feel as good as you are, your daughter might be a devil. And wreak havoc in your house. I mean, come to every family reunion and just embarrass everybody because she has to have her pants all up in her butt. Nobody can't tell her nothing. Or she's going to go off and somebody going to have to cut her head to the white meat. That's how they get. They get all religious. But see, you know they're the devil's children because the devil has put a protection on them. You know what that protection is? Don't take this fist and mash them in their face. If you do, I'll lock you up. If they do wrong, violate the laws of your house, if you beat them,
they'll arrest you. The devil protects the devil. Know what I say? Take them to the streets. Send them on to Lamb Nod. Let them all join their kind. But they'll find when they get there, there's more ferocious devils than them. They ain't seen no hoes till they meet some real hoes. They're little synthetic hoes. Little plastic hoes. They ain't got but one pair of baggy pants. They ain't no real hip-hopper. They got a little rag on their head like they belong to a gang and bend their fingers. They don't belong to no gang. We know. We raised you. You're a little coward. Now you're going to go on up there and you're going to get in Atlanta and you're going to encounter some real gangsters. You understand? Some of these young kids here are going to die. They're going to die because they think they're bad. They don't know there's real killers out there. There's real devils. You just possessed the devil. There's other ones that ain't possessed the devil. They are the devil. And they just cut your throat just as well as look at you. Just for a bracelet or a ring or your sneakers. Or you go to the party and because you cute, you wink at the wrong girl and lose your life. It's happening. It's happening while we are talking now here on this Saturday night. Some kid in Atlanta is losing his life. Well, he then left Griffin, Georgia and went up to Atlanta and hung out with a bunch of hoes and wannabe pimps and think I'm slick niggas. Take them to a party and they die. But they could, but they saw how to dress on television. You know how many girls wanted to be Aaliyah? They saw in her video, I wish I was Aaliyah. Do you wish you were Aaliyah now? I'm not making fun of my death. I'm saying, you see what happens? Tupac. God rest his soul. Tough brother. Bad. Buck the system. In and out of jail. Can't tell me nothing. Where is it? Gone. Gone dead. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no real hip-hop. Niggas, y'all better stop that stuff and get back into grace. And get back in these books. They're cleaning that crap up. Y'all ain't real. They got some real devils out there waiting for you. They got some real hoes out there. They do that for a living. That ain't you. Deep down in the core of you, there's a good person just wanting to be free. Wanting to be free of us parents telling you what to do every day. But hell, as long as we are providing the bed and the bed, we're going to tell you what you're supposed to have in your head. And when you decide that you don't want to be a monster anymore, pack it up and go on to Atlanta now and deal with them killers. You may survive. Lord knows we want you to survive. You're going into the jungle with real lions, so read to me.
Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold...
I want that for reading there. What, their name was not written in the book of life since when?
From the foundation of the world.
Since the world was created?
Yeah.
So these are not God's children.
Mm.
These are human devils. And their name was never written in the book of life since the foundation of the world. Then they are what? They're devils. And we're walking and talking with them. We're breaking bread with them. Meeting and partying in clubs and restaurants, socializing and shopping with them. And they admitted their name was never in God's book to go to heaven. They never was going to even make it. You hear me? Hey.
When they behold the beast that is that was and is not, is and yet is. Stop.
Before they didn't add the yet is. Was, old Babylon, is not, destroyed, came out the pit, and
yet
is. We're back in it again. There's a new Babylon, a new Sodom and Gomorrah.
new temptations, more sophisticated than we ever imagined. When I was a little boy, when we had a gun, I think I said it before, nothing on it moved. I don't think y'all heard me. Nothing on it moved. It was shaped like a gun, and everything was all imagination. Now they got toys where they put bullets in them, and smoke comes out of them, and things come out of them. Who's doing that? Who's teaching them this? With all imagination. Now, the devil's in control of your mind. His temptations are way out there. And you can have cyber sex. You can have sex with somebody in Australia on your computer. The devil has made a way. He said, if you won't come out here, I'll go in there and get you. I'm going to drive you out the church if it's the last thing I do. Then he said, can't you go on a computer and have a sex thing? Huh? Oh, what do they call those lines? How you know that? Well, I ain't gonna say nothing, but I know where she is going. I don't want to be a part of it, but I hope the Lord kills it.
And here is the mind which talks with wisdom.
Here's the mind that has wisdom. Don't that sound familiar? Don't that sound like head to head? Him has wisdom, let him count the number of the beast, because it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Before you go any further, I want someone to turn right now to Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Because it all happened on the 9th month and 11th day, did it not?
Oh, yeah.
But see, if God was warning us, Revelation 9, 11, read it.
And they had a king over them.
And they had a king over them.
Which is the angel of the bottomless pit.
The angel of that bottomless pit.
His name in the Hebrew tongue is
Abaddon, which means destruction. But to make sure you didn't miss it, be you Jewish or Greek, and in Greek, Apollyon, right? And his name in Greek is?
As his name, Apollyon.
Also meaning destruction. That is the 9th chapter, the 11th verse. The 9th month, the 11th day. And they speak about two names for the beast. And both names is destruction, two buildings. And both buildings were destroyed. God warned us there, but we ain't keeping up with the word of God.
Ask you this maybe last question. Please share with us the attributes and what does it take to display and or show divine love. What is that? And how do people actually know that they've tapped into it? How do you use it?
That's a very good question. You know what I mean? And the best way to answer that question is with experience. You know what I'm saying? Divine love is sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? It's when you have a fervent love for the Most High, so much so that nothing disturbs your inner being. It has nothing to do with a binding type of love. The love that you may have for your wife or your husband or your child or your mother is binding. It's conditional because of the word my. You know what I'm saying? One of the simple ways that the master teacher, Dr. Malachi Z. York, taught us over the years to begin the journey of perfecting divine love is with a very simple word, your, meaning when you as an individual are starting to be more concerned with others, or as he stated, love the next person half as much as you love yourself. When you start saying, When you call a person, how is your mother? How is your father? How are you doing? When you call in an individual, not because you want something, but because you sincerely wanted to know how they're doing. And when you start dealing with your, it'll grow from there. Like the brother Tahuti said earlier, walk with me through the years. Well, you'll start just by being concerned with other people, showing kindness and compassion and self-sacrifice. And I've learned those lessons, you know, over my life and haven't perfected it yet. But, you know, I'm on the journey of perfecting. See, the whole thing is we're here to perfect one thing and one thing only, love. Love and sacrifice, which is why Yeshua Jesus is the symbol. The Quran would say the best of methylene, the best example, you know what I mean, of love and sacrifice, because he was willing to lay down his life alchemically, not religiously, but alchemically. And if you don't understand the science of alchemy, then it'll go over your head. Meaning he simply says, I stand in representation of the lamb. And what is the lamb? A lamb is a beautiful, innocent creature, something that everybody loves, something that everybody will gravitate towards to, a humble, innocent being. But as you gravitate toward that lamb, he takes on your attributes, your sins, your thoughts. You know, I don't really like Pop, man. I can't believe Pop said that. Oh, man, you know what? And then he becomes a vessel for that. And in that becomes a mirror. And then you'll see yourself in him. But it won't be the real you. It'll be all the things that have attached itself to your soul, meaning the bacteria, which are our negative thoughts, which we have to learn to purge out. Through, you know what I mean? Through self-confessions and a bunch of other means. That's too much to get into in this show. But Malachi became the very mirror of the very being that he came to save, which is why people started affixing their sins onto him. But that's my job, is what he said. I call myself the lamb because I'm making the sacrifice. But nobody ever asked what the sacrifice was. Well, it's in the mind book. He said, learn to extinguish, right, name and identity in this form. Malachi gave up the name Malachi. He gave up the name York. He gave up the name Baba. He gave up the name Yannin and El Kiddah, meaning, okay, y'all can take these names and slander them. Why? Learn to extinguish identity. Many of us who are here today identify ourselves by whatever name or title or whatever pseudo-ego that we create for ourselves to be seen. When we're in the mirror, right, we're literally alchemically planning how we want people to view us, how we want people to see us and feel us. He says, learn to extinguish that. And in so extinguishing, you will start to feel a separation, meaning you are not this physical body. You are the real you, the inner you, the soul that is waiting to burst forth. And that soul is a pure intellect that is not yours. It don't belong to you. It belongs to the Most High. So you surrender your will to the elders. Surrender your will to nature. Surrender your will to God or law, whatever name you say. You know what I'm saying? Whatever name that makes you feel connected. Just surrender and allow yourself to be guided. And it is not easy. Yanun said that we will not be given a platter of righteousness. It don't happen that way. He says you have to work. Amadou Sali had worked to fix yourself. You know what I'm saying? And in so working to fix yourself, you will become one with the real you. So that's one example. You know what I'm saying? And now my lifetime, I'm learning like this because I'm in a relationship with a woman. And all I wanted to do was meditate, be spiritual and pray. But she had needs, and I didn't think her needs were important until somebody pointed out to me that, Bodhi, you're being selfish. I was like, no, I got to meditate. She's interfering with my time. No. Right? And the elder said, give her your time. Throw seeds of love. Even meaning, how do you become one with divine love? By doing something for another person that will make them happy. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's going out, praise the Most High, and feeding the homeless. Whether it's spending time with a person when you don't feel like doing it. Right? If you only do it when you feel like doing it, then there's no sacrifice. You follow that? Because in the Gold Book, it says love and sacrifice go hand in hand. And what do you get out of it? You exhaust the ego. And what did Pop say? In the sayings of Imam Issa, he says, the giving of gifts exalts the ego. Sometimes I might have $100, somebody may want 60 here. So I give everything I have, knowing that if I give it to you, it's going to come back anyway. Last thing, everybody has heard, listen to this here, everybody has heard the story in the Bible about the rich man who came to Jesus one day and said, how do I enter the kingdom of heaven? And he said, I've kept all the laws, you know, I read all the books, I do everything you say, Pop. How do I enter or experience the kingdom of heaven? And for you Nawabians who believe that spookism is in your holy tablet called the third heaven. It is a new plane of existence. It is in another dimension, so to speak, another window, and what do you mean by dimension? Well, just like leaving from your bedroom to your bathroom, that's a different dimension. Well, all of those dimensions exist in you, see? In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many dimensions. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you so. But you'd have to go inside to experience those dimensions, and when you come back out into the outer world, it will reflect all around you. When I rededicated my life to Yeshua, Jesus, I was homeless. Now, if certain brothers will bear witness, I'm standing in a 7,000-square-foot mansion, amen, walking back and forth, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. People come, they see me, they say, damn, Bodie, you living in a mansion. And I don't pay not one dime. And how did I get it? Through Jesus. Like a mortgage lady was like, you ain't going to get this house. Y'all can't get it. This deal is undoable. Right? We got a new lender. The lender said, this deal will be done through Jesus Christ. And why? Because of testimony. Not for bragging, but for testimony. Because people got to know where to get the blessings from. Don't come and try to get what's mine. Get yours. Because what's yours is yours. Everybody here should be speaking that which has their own name on it. Amen. And the only way to get it, praise God, is to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want my blessing. And where is that? St. John 15. And what did he say in St. John 15? He said, ask the Father for anything in my name, it shall be given to you. He didn't say, ask me. He said, ask the Father. Who is that Father? In your law book, it says, praise be to the Heavenly One who is Atumre. You know what I'm saying? Who was up there, in there, and now dwell amongst us and is still waiting. Pop ain't went nowhere. Ain't no tragedy. Praise God. Nothing like that. He's waiting on certain people to raise up. Because men and others do the work that will cause, listen, that will produce this plane of existence. The plane of existence where we will be with Pops again. Because in one plane of existence, for those who understand the terminology, in one window, you follow that? I mean, Pop is locked up. Right? Meaning in our minds, for those of us who accept it, that way that. In another plane of existence, he is loving and waiting and sitting and hoping that we reach him. He says, get up here. Put on the mask of God. Stop talking about God and put on the mask of God. The Wapians are missing the big picture. He said, I gave you 30 years. Now I'm gone. Y'all are supposed to be doing the same thing. Y'all want to see power? Okay, start building pyramids everywhere. And stamp the love of Jesus in your heart. Why? Because he's saying, I don't want to spend my time with a bunch of intelligent Negroes. I'm not interested in that. I need people who love, who got that feeling, that light energy, that care. You know what I'm saying? Not just for black people, but for all people. Because Amalekites have a right to, you know, a right to live. But they have to serve. Because it says, afterwards that nation, I will judge. From that, Revelation 3:9, and will let them know that I've always loved you, as he said. He said, I will beat the devil in front of you, behind you, around you, and will always let you know. So where did Pop go? Pop ain't went nowhere. He's in the Brother Hotel Talamun. He's in the Brother James. I don't mean in a religious way. I'm talking about spiritually, ethically. He listen, broke up his light and placed it in all of us. Now, in the day that we realize that we got work to do, and listen, as he stated, stop making me so significant. The reason why the devil was able to control our organization is because our organization became a cult. I don't mean cult as in culture. I mean cult as in cult. A bunch of new people started worshiping Pop. And instead of worshiping Pop, no problem, but you didn't do the work. It was about doing the work. What did we do? When he was here, how many stores were opening up? HTM stores all around the world. All eyes on Egypt stores all around the world. By now, there should be an Egyptian Church of Christ on every corner. They got a liquor store on every corner. Why not an Egyptian Church of Christ on every corner? Why not a Holy Tabernacle Sea? Where you got a Holy Tabernacle Baptist Synagogue? Why? And then he told me he was only doing it because he was around. So we say, the harvest, we say, the harvest is plenty, but the labor is a few. So we say, put on your white by day and your black by night. But it's going to be a new God, Isaiah 52. A beautiful God. The Brother Hotel Talamun is producing it now. You know what I mean? And everybody's going to start to see
Well, brothers, listen to the show. Rewind it back to the beginning when you're done. And listen to the brother Tahuti who came out earlier and Uncle James. They were talking about Anstrongs. Right? What did the brother Ishmael York is doing now? An Anstrong party in New York. Hello? When you see the gathering, the angels of Elion El, the Most High, and don't tell me Pa'atura. You can do that too. Because what Papa's trying to say, y'all are too caught up in doctrine. Just follow me and walk with me. There are millions of songs that need to be illuminated. And if they're not illuminated, they would be eliminated. Such as case in California today. How many people are concerned with California? The moment you say there's a whole lot of sincere souls in California, the pit of fornication. That's what about the Nubians there? We concentrated on the East Coast. And now look at us. Standing to maintain a warehouse. We're shutting down. We're bickering amongst ourselves. Well, all the real souls have not even touched the books yet. And who's responsible? The question is, whose God is responsible? Let me answer that. We are the gods that are responsible, because you can't claim to be God unless you're willing to take responsibility. Because it says in St. John 10:34, listen, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And we love that part, don't we? Oh, I'm God, nigga, I'm God. No, wait, hold up. There's a part to being God now, being responsible. And then Brody tripping, he said he's a third, that was known as third in responsibility. Okay, that's all. That means who else is willing to take responsibility for this world and the conditions of the world? Like my brother Hotep Talamu, like my brother Osaru, who is reinvigorated, uniting the Wapian Nation of Moors. Because UNM, we have our own identity cards now, and yes, I am a member. And anybody who walked amongst us and with us then will always know that we've always reapplied. There was a reason. Well, Pop text me or email me, Leon Moss was there, November 1st, 2001, and said, we are reorganizing the organization. He says, I will call you soon. Pop says, the reorganization is taking place through the brother Dr. Saru Amin Ak-El. He's already got the United Wapping Nation of Mars, the Apostle, putting everybody on notice. In Switzerland, the state, United States government has already sent apology letters, hello. And works are being done, meaning we are producing the plane of existence in which the door will open for the return. Say it again, the triumphant return of Malachi. It will only happen when we do a work that will produce that plane of existence. If you don't know what we're talking about, then just walk with us anyway. You understand? Because some people, what I mean by that is if you're not spiritually inclined, then you ask the right questions, we'll make sure you know. But we got to catch up. Meanwhile, like I said, who's willing to put on the white? Right? Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, Texas, you know what I mean? Phoenix, Arizona. There are a whole lot of souls out there that don't even know the foundation of right knowledge. You know what I'm saying? They should be ATM stores. Why is ATM? Because ATM is Heliopolis, Seven Dimensions. Right, the devil has made a mockery out of all our religion. They have took over the organization, shut all the bookstores down, leave it to a few, and are now controlling it, controlling our organization with one word, feed Dr. York. And everybody is starving it now, and no progress being made. And you want to go to a Christian who has love for Jesus and experiences, you know what I'm saying? And you're telling them to be a part of the Morocco, and they look on the internet and see all the bickering, and they say, I don't want them to do with that. I got Jesus. And Pop says, as a Christian, and still am. So if you really follow the Lamb, then why don't you really follow him? Or that we only do that which suits us. We better wake up. Hotep.
Thank you, brother, for blessing us today with that message, with his message. Really appreciate it. And I want to say for the record, if this is the Most High's will, then Meducci will definitely be back. I definitely humble myself to his style of teaching, how the Most High uses him. That's why he's called Meducci Hotep, which is forceful speaker of truth. That's one of his titles. And as the third elder of the 19, I humble myself to that also. Malachor. I humble myself. You are who you say you are. You know what I'm saying? Because I know my Father's voice when I hear it. So just a day and time. And so on that note, family, we're going to end this show today. And we will, if it's the Most High will, be back next week. But HTM is going back up. The church is in the house. I'm trying to tell y'all, hey, coming soon to a theater near you. Peace and love, family. Happy birthday, Bob.
My mind thinks it's me. To dream, and it feels oh so good. Yes, it feels oh so good. What it told me, a dream. I know how good it feels.